And I really mean it. Because as I was looking over my notes last week, I had to stop here. And it's the last point that I have of this little series that we've been engaging in on God's great book. So if you would, turn with me to Psalm 138 and verse 2. Psalm 138 and verse 2. Well, let's read verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. I want to close this series on the greatness of our responsibility when it comes to God's great book. And as I read this verse, I thought to myself, if God has magnified His Word above His own name, if He has placed that much importance, that degree of significance upon His holy Word, then it only follows that the people who are called by His name, who worship the great God of heaven and earth, should magnify the Word by giving it a prominent place in their lives. If God magnifies His Word above all His name, shouldn't we magnify the Word in every aspect of our life? His Word should have a prominent place in every one of our lives. You think about all that's gone in to you having God's holy Word in one book in your lap tonight, in your language, that it's been preserved through all these centuries, and you have it. You've got it in a very readable format in the English language. You don't have to learn Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, which is what the Scriptures were originally written in. You have it in your English language. And since God has gone to such great lengths to inspire and preserve His great book, then we ought to go to great lengths to study it, to pray over it, to memorize it, to apply it in our lives. We ought to daily study the blessed precepts of God's great book, since the most important person in all the universe has revealed His mind and will in His great book, then God's people should regard it with profound reverence. This is the holy Word of God. It is the living Word of God. It is the pure Word of God. It is the inspired Word of God. And yet, there is a dearth, a famine in the land with regards to the pursuit and the knowledge and application of God's Word. Very few people are paying mind to the Word at all, paying attention to the contents of this book. Let's not make that mistake. You and I, we profess to be saved. We profess to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. We profess that the Spirit of God dwells in us to enlighten us and energize and empower us. We profess that we are ambassadors for Christ out in this evil world. If we make that profession, then we should have a holy allegiance, loyalty to God's great book, to the holy Word of God. It should take precedent over all other human writings, all other human activities. Reading God's Word ought to have first place in our lives. And since God's great book reveals His mind and will, we should love it. Don't you want to know more about God? But grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Where are you going to do that? In the book that He's inspired. Open up my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. This is how we ought to approach it. When we read the Word, we ought to come to it with a sincere desire to learn, to grow, to be more fruitful according to the truth. And I believe it has a touch point to every aspect of your life. Your home life, your church life, your work life, your financial life, the way that you communicate with people, the way you raise your children, where you go, how you dress, how you talk. It has a touch point to everything you and I do. So we need to be careful to give this book the preeminence that it is worthy of. And since God's great book is filled with wondrous truths that serve to feed, instruct, and encourage the soul, the saint of God should be daily perusing its contents. And since the Bible is God's great book, then His people definitely have a responsibility. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have a responsibility not just to read the contents, but to study, to memorize. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Brandon in Sunday school brought out the power of the washing of the water of the word and how it has an impact upon the new nature of that newly born child of God who, as soon as he's born again, his first response is to believe the gospel that's been preached to him out of this great book. We have a responsibility to meditate and obey and apply the principles and the precepts of the Word of the living God. Yet I fear that many professing Christians, and there's a lot of people that at least pay lip service. They're outward Jews. They have some religiosity about them. And it's all over our world, all over the United States of America. We have not yet completely shut down Christianity, although I do believe that's the vision of progressive secular humanists, that they want to demonize Bible-believing Christians like me, like you, that believe that this, that the Word is inspired and it takes precedent over the laws of men and over the philosophies and ideologies of men. They want to stamp that out. Because the Bible teaches you to think for yourself, to reason and apply truth from the Word. And I believe there is a push to stamp out Christianity. Listen, it's already swept all through Europe. This human, secular, human, rationalist thought. And you know what? You know what filled the religious vacuum in Europe? The Muslim religion, which is a religion born out of hell. That's filled with ungodliness and immorality and unholiness. There ain't nothing peaceful about the Muslim religion. Everywhere it's dominant. They have wars and rumors of wars everywhere. They fight among themselves. So they're trying to get rid of the Bible and Bible-believing Christians. I may not see it in my lifetime, but if my grandkids are saved, if the Lord saves them, and if they actually take a stand and say, I believe the Word of God, I love the Lord Jesus Christ, they may lose their lives over it. That's how serious I think this is. But as of right now, you've got thousands of people, probably millions of people, all across the United States of America. Oh yeah, I go to church. Are you saved? Oh, I'm baptized. I'm this, I'm that. With no real heart change. No inward change. Do you read the Bible? No. Hardly ever. Only when I go to church. That's the only time I read the Bible. Well, then you're a fake. Oh, that's rough, isn't it? I tell you what, if you love the Lord, you're going to read His Word. If He's changed your heart, you're going to want to know more about the book and about God. And I fear that many professing Christians and preachers and churches have neglected the holy responsibility to search the contents of God's great book. I've been preaching here for 26 years. In those 26 years, I can almost, and I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I could go back and I could almost guarantee you that every single year, we've gone through some book of the Bible, some doctrine or doctrinal truths of the Bible, practical Christian living. We have done that week after week, month after month, year after year. And I pray that God gives me grace until the day I die to keep on preaching the Word. Now, I'll be the first to admit, it's not what most people want. When most people come to a church, they're not looking to hear the Word. They may be looking for a social type of environment, maybe something to do with their kids, or they may be looking for a church to babysit their kids. It's the way it works in this world. So we need to pray that God will save people and give them a heart for His Word. And I believe that the fact that so many have neglected the Word of God, that churches have neglected it, that Baptist churches have neglected the teaching and preaching of the Word, it's the reason that iniquity abounds. Why indifference, apathy, and error are so prevalent, so popular in our day. Because when you neglect the Word of God, when it's neglected, homes will be chaotic. They'll be out of order. Churches will be doctrinally and morally impure. Immorality will abound in society at large. Because there is a huge, God places a huge moral restraint in any society where the Word of God has a preeminence. There won't be near as much outward wickedness. I'm not saying that there won't be wickedness, because wherever there's men, there's wickedness. But when the Word of God, when people say that the Bible is not true, when they neglect it, when they reject it, when they say that it's full of errors, and they mock it, and they deride it, and they hate it, and they try to get people to not abide by it, that nation's going to hell. That's exactly what's happening to America. You see, I think instead of making up excuses that won't stand the test of time, and instead of justifying our sin of neglecting God's great book, we need to confess and ask God for a new and greater desire to get into His Word every day. That's the mark of every true, genuine revival among God's people. It's centered around God's Word. And the power of the Holy Spirit taking the truth of that Word and making it real in people's lives. Now I challenge you tonight to begin afresh and anew to make God's great book a daily part of your life. Follow the command of the wise man in Proverbs 4, verses 4 and 5. Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Obey the admonition of the verse that I've already quoted. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that has to do with not just studying, but actually applying what the Bible teaches. For example, when the Bible says, lie not one to another, the application of that is, stop lying. Don't lie. When it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth like that of malice and bitterness and envious and jealous words, what does that mean? Don't let those things come out of your mouth. That's application. That's rightly dividing the word of truth. It has nothing to do with dispensational truth. It has everything to do with looking at the word of God and making application in your life individually and in your home. Make God's great book such a priority in your life that you'll be able to say with Job. He said this in chapter 23, verse 11 and 12. He said, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And that's someone who all he had was the audible word of God. He didn't even have the written word of God. Our fruitfulness as the people of God depends largely on how saturated we are with the Word. A lot of you have been here my entire ministry. How many times have I quoted Psalm 1? That's where the fruitfulness is. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. The result, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Think about how much money is being made by how-to books. You know, how to, and self-improvement books that really push some form of human psychology. And I mean, people, preachers are making millions of dollars off of this stuff. And right here, you got it right here. The how-to of everything. Right here. You don't need a preacher to sell you a book, although I'm going to be publishing a book pretty soon. To make it, but mine are really good. That's a big difference between me and Joel Osteen. Mine are really good. That sounds awful. But the how-to for everything in life is right here. And our happiness as the children of God depends largely on our obedience. Blessed, that means happy. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. So I pray that God will be pleased to enlighten our eyes, convict our hearts of the solemn responsibility that we have to study, obey, reverence, and delight in God's great book. It's really the only hope for our homes, our churches, our nation. And that is a revival regarding God's great book. It's going to require you to turn some things off, to set some things aside, to stop doing certain things in order to implement the discipline of the work, studying and reading and memorizing God's Word. And you're going to have to ask God to give you the grace to curtail your lust for pleasure long enough to spend time in His Word. And then and only then can we expect to see real revival. And I'll close with this, Psalm 119, verses 4 through 6. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. God's great book. Pray that it will not be a strange thing to us. And that is our series completion.